following program is live and intended for all audiences.
Trubisky being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered. The NHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered. Draft Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 and Heem Hicks. Our line keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window, bees blowing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan. Bears girl moderated, Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again, Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Jackson, touchdown Bears!
Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness! Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5! Game over!
Bears Hour Live! Bears Hour Live! One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Roquan Smith, what is the latest?
You know, the good thing is we have strong relationships with these agents. There's a number of guys on our team, the same agency. We've dealt with them on a number of deals. So, you know, it's just you know, working through those things, you know. So, but again, to talk about anything related to contracts publicly, it's not healthy. It's not productive. But you can bet, obviously, it's important to us. I know it's important to Roquan, and we're working on it.
Hello, Bears fans. You just heard Bears general manager Ryan Pace on ESPN 1000's Cap and Company show talking about the holdout with the team's first-round draft pick, Roquan Smith. Welcome to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. My name is Bears Girl, and the doc will be here shortly to rant about the contract holdout. But first, let me tell you what the rest of the show will sound like. We'll hear more about the new helmet rule that is behind the contract holdout. Hear Danny Trevathan's thoughts on the rule that many attribute his hit on Packers wide receiver Davante Adams to be behind this new legislation. We'll listen to some very candid comments from offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich about Mitch Trubisky's progress as a quarterback. We'll address your Ask BHL questions, and a special guest, the godfather of the bar, will be stopping by to help us close out the show and share his observations from camp today. How are you doing tonight, Doc?
Doing good. I mean, I'm really at that breaking point, to be perfectly honest. I think I'm exhausted from the Roquan Smith scenarios and, you know, chronicles and conspiracies. And it's really getting to the point where it's just so bloody for my friends across the pond, exhausting to be dealing with this tennis match, if you will, back and forth. And you heard Ryan Pace, and really Cap and Company did a good job getting him on the air because I thought it was relevant, obviously, to the most everybody's talking about it. I mean, when you have non-Bear fans in Connecticut talking to me about it at a gym, it's an issue. And let's rewind back, and I don't flip-flop much, but when I'm not a course in education in regards to contracts, the CBA, and the new helmet rule, everything seems to be, you know, some semblance of a hypothesis of what might happen. A hypothesis that this might happen. People are throwing out stats. 40,000 tackles. Only 3 were ejection-type penalties. versus the situation. Well, it's really not that. It's about the guaranteed money. So many theories have gone down. I'm going to put it to you like this. Bears, I'm putting you back on the hook. I defended you, Ryan Pace. I thought this was CAA doing their regular stuff. And to an extent, it is. Let's be honest. They're more worried about the next four linebacker clients they have than they are about this kid in the middle of a situation that agents who I have experience with will talk out of one side of their mouth. I've been on the other end, like promising something they knew they couldn't do or get or hoped they could get. They had the same hypothesis that they might be able to get it if they got this kid signed. So the two-faced double talk with CAA is one thing. So the disappointment that I have today is that April was a long time ago. Nothing's changed. Why isn't this situation resolved? If it's so important to you to have this football player here, this should have gone done. If you know the game, somebody has to budge a little bit so the other person can also meet you halfway. It's embarrassing. It's disappointing. It's everything you wish you wouldn't have seen in an offseason that everybody on a show full of truth was in unison at what a tremendous offseason. But if this player now is under the scrutiny of every fan in the NFL, because if he signs tomorrow and accidentally, knock on wood, the kid gets hurt in any way, a pulled hamstring like Aaron Lynch, a hurt shoulder like Daniels, the first thing is going to be brought up, how the Bears dropped the ball, the kid dropped the ball. We talk about this sport being about 85% mental. How does he handle that criticism? He's it chomping at the bit if he has any kind of passion for this game, which obviously he does. He wants to be out there. So this situation, someone needs to be an adult, because A, you drafted this kid to make plays for you on the defensive side of the football. And when you're talking about money in a sport, we talked about this off the air, baseball, guy could be 250 eating popcorn and pizza and going out there pitching, guaranteed $100 million. When you got football players laying their lives, so to speak, on the line each and every Sunday, their contracts aren't guaranteed. So if you have a double standard on, and this is what I'm reading now, I don't know who's right, who's wrong. There's just so much to, they're saying we're 96% sure this is it. Well, there's still that 4%. Pace said it. But I got to tell you guys, it stinks to be right here in the middle of this tug of war that will eventually end. Why not, if you're the Chicago Bears, recognize guaranteed money is guaranteed money. This football game, you drafted this kid because he's passionate, he's going to go be aggressive. Let's not punish the kid for this new standard that we have no clue yet is how it's going to be officiated. And you know what? If a guy gets a ticky-tack foul you saw and lived with Zach Miller and his touchdown being not considered a touchdown when, you know, the kid that just learned football in seventh grade can recognize that it's a touchdown, but for some reason Al Riveron can't. So to place faith in that this guy's going to make the right call all the time, I don't think you punish the football player for that. So Aldo, Phil, people in my family, coaches around that the league, none of them know really how this is going to be officiated. There was quotes I saw today from the Philadelphia Eagles. They're confused at what it looks like a legal tackle is being considered not. So this is the disappointment in the rule, in the manipulation of contract. I'm worried about the next players we sign and all of this business getting in the way of this young man's opportunity to step foot into the spotlight of Chicago at a position where you're going to see a Hall of Famer inducted on Saturday. So here you are stepping in the shadow of that, and you're holding out because of all this BS. That's Roquan needs to go and be a man and man up and say, yeah, I want this. You don't want to give me this. We'll meet halfway. Get this done again. I'm just going on all of the sides I'm reading because there's all different sides. So I apologize to some of you who debated compassionately and said, no, it's Bear's fault. You're half right. Everybody's right. They're both at fault in my eyes tonight because this has gone on way too long. No one could justify that. You wanted this, or this was an issue then. It's still an issue now. Then it's completely, emphatically on both of them to get this done. So this is going to be the lead story for weeks. I'm exhausted already. I honestly am going to confess that and we'll talk about it tomorrow. I have this, like, I could give a crap if this kid comes type of, and that's not me, but it's so manipulated in the media and Pace. Come out and just say, we got to get this done. Be the GM of a team that wants to win, because you certainly haven't. So we could take our shots at him too, because this is not how you started with this distraction of a new head coach and friend of the show and Aldo going to the practices and giving us videos. And there's Vic Fangio pacing the sideline, picking up stuff. He's pissed off. He wants his whole team and move on to get this defense ready to compete and surprise people. This is not how you do that. So the McCaskies, Ted Phillips, however you're playing this, who's responsible? Bears are at fault, and so is the player. That is the truth tonight. That is my truth. And the last part of my rant is a little under or outside the bar thought. I wish I had the Aldo on tap music to play behind what I wanted to say just now, because I just want to put this eloquently for a fan base that's led in many different directions. As a guy that will refuse to give myself away to anything other than what I see football-wise and my opinion politically in this same field of football, not politics, the media, the players and the antics and all the side stuff that you've come to love about Bears Barroom. This right here is football. And when we are practicing and I am coaching, I want players to feel confident and comfortable. They have to know the system, the playbook, the formations. And I get fired up. I throw my play sheet down. I grab a kid and I say, listen, what do you do on this? Because if I'm teaching one, I'm teaching them all. The Chicago Bears have taken that approach to be aggressive, have fun, and press your players to get comfortable. Get comfortable in this philosophy that we're doing. And if we're on this show and we're being 100% all the time and we talk about stats don't always tell the truth, what kind of media are you following when they're counting Mitchell Trubisky's stats in a non-padded practice about how many interceptions he might have had? And are you concerned? I don't mean any offense to anybody. You could take what you want, suppress it, hold it, eat it. I know this game. If there's one thing I could be confident in myself about, is that I know this, and I know this to be true. Those interceptions that you're worried about mean absolutely zero, zilch, not an issue. Because everything else technically that you want to see in a football player, this kid's doing while he's learning a new system, new players, new philosophy. That can't go unnoticed. But for some reason, and you're not at fault. You might be listening to another podcast. You might, and that's fine. But I'm not going to lead you astray. Those practice interceptions mean absolutely diddly squat. And I'll tell you why, because we said it before. As a coach, I'm asking you to throw it in that window. I'm asking you to threaten the defense. I'm asking you to not take the sack, and if he's covered, just throw it up and see if he'll win a jump ball or a matchup against a Kyle Fuller so he can build confidence. So when somebody's giving you statistics and it's July and I want to see improvement in August, yeah, we all do, because in September, when the plays actually matter and Mitchell's asked to formulate a game plan to, you know, meticulously attack an opponent, that's when it matters. In practice, off a drop by Kevin White, well, they got a lot of excuses, you know, for Mitch. But no. Thank you, Aldo. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, every barfly that has gone out there and shot video footage. Because I'm going to tell you, and it's the last point of my rant, the focus is to tear Mitch down. They might not want you to believe it, but that's what they're going to get clicks on. And that's what other teams and fans want to see. They want to see Mitch fail. I don't want to. So I'm going to educate the fan base to appraise this appropriately with the tape, with reality, and a practice will always be a practice. Because I can list many teams that practice really great that week, and on Sundays, they never showed up. That is my rant.
You've got the chat room fired up, as always, Phil, with our 30 listeners. And you've already answered Ben Rascula's Ask BHL request that you tell Bears fans not to worry about training camp interceptions. So thank you for that. You mentioned pace. I got tons of Ask BHL questions on Roquan Smith, but I want to play you two audio clips. The first is from earlier today, where Nagy was asked if the team was fully aware of how the new helmet rules worked, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, so if you keep it really simple, they talk about that flat line, right? And if you're as long as your head comes up and you can show your face mask, then you're okay. But the second you put the crown of the helmet down, no matter who you are, offense or defense, they're going to look for that, and they're trying to prevent that. So it's going to be our job as coaches to educate our players. The league has done a great job at putting together some video clips of examples of good and bad. So we'll show our guys that. They'll see it. And then this game's been playing a certain way for a long time, and it's going to be hard for some of these guys to naturally not do that. That's what they've done. So we have to understand that there's going to be times where in a crucial game where something's called, and you know, you're just hoping you're not on the wrong end of it too often. So we got to teach our guys the right from wrong.
Maybe saw James Daniels.
Before you comment on that, Phil, I want to play an exchange Danny Trevathan had with reporters about this exact same rule.
I understand the rule. I was an example out of the rule. Of course, they made it real clear of what they want, you know, tackling. And, you know, I'm going to do my part as a player. You know, it's tough, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do. You know, that's why they pay us the way they do. But
do you think in the position that you play, though, in the way that you play, that it's going to be a tough thing to regulate?
It's going
to
be tough. It's going to be tough. You know, the game is constantly changing. You know, I'm right on your side, but, you know, we got to do what the league wants us to do right now, where that's money out of our pockets. And you got to be smarter with it and just get better with it.
Danny, how do you balance, knowing in the back of your mind that there's disciplinary action for hits like this, your example being obvious, and the fact you want to be physical, you want to be fast?
I'm sure it'll still be physical, just not probably that physical that you're used to. But over time, once we work it, I'm sure it'll get back to it. Just right head placement, putting the face mask up. You know, it's really hard on linebackers, but, you know, we're not in it for the easy part.
So while I total up all of the yeses and the, I think, one no in the chat room, why don't you go ahead and react to those two clips?
Well, you know, first with Nagy, I mean, he's trying to be politically correct, but he's obviously, he could be a member of Bears 100 proof if they let the, you know, handcuffs off him, because he's being quite honest. And these guys have played this game a certain way for a long time. It's like trying to ride your bike left footed first if you're a right foot, you know, something, catch with a throw with your left hand. That'll be a good analogy to it's just something that's so embedded in you and ingrained in you that, you know, you play this game a certain way. And here's something that I thought, you know, was really indicative of how I felt. I think Louis Riddick had captured a tweet out there. I'm going to paraphrase it because it was in one of those moments where I'm scrolling through and I just happened to read it, and it just totally resonated with me in what I was thinking. It's like the owners have taken this bread and butter, so to speak, and tried to make it a keto diet. And we're going to use a different bread now to circumvent what's been going on without ever processing this appropriately. It's like now that's changed. Now it's changed. And really, when you have someone who's like a used car salesman leading your referees in officiating this, this is really not good in my mind. I totally agree. Like, this is a drastic change. It's like A to B, and it's just not fair. So the whole confusion in it is the hypotheticals, because we don't know. They're seeing the tapes. Fans don't know. Now you're introducing this to a fandom where you've sold NFL, you know, hardest hits videos, and you applaud these things on SportsCenter and your own network, these hard hits and physical play and the passion of the game. And what are we doing to the sport that we're, you know, getting now? As a coach, we took the Arizona Wildcats teaching, University of Arizona Wildcats teaching technique of tackling, because we thought philosophically that was one of the best processes. Always with your head up, your eyes in the chest of the opponent, and you're wrapping and grabbing jersey and taking to the ground. And rolling your hips, you know, being physical in it, but your head and eyes were always up. So these points aren't being showcased to educate the fans. The media don't know. And so the players are admitting they don't kind of know, but I guess they know. And that confusion to me constitutes a step back and reassess exactly what you're doing, because is this really promoting safety? Because if players are going half speed thinking BG, that's when injuries occur. It's when you're going full speed and you don't have to think as much about what you need to do. And that's why we praise instinct so much when we look at a Jordan Howard and how instinctive he is as a runner, and Adrian Amos filling the alley and instinctively knowing where a play is, and our rookie who's instinctively reading, you know, the backfield and able to scrape and get to a play. These things that are going to interfere with instincts is that momentary, and this game is fast. I mean, people don't even realize how fast it is. I know you hear it all the time, but it is fast. And to have someone slow down for a second to think, am I placing my head upright to worry about a fine or a suspension or an ejection to cost your team, that really is disappointing on these levels. And I don't know what to expect. And it's funny because the Bears, the charter franchise, are going to be the ones kicking it off this Thursday, rather. What am I talking about? It's coming up quick. This Thursday, they're kicking it off, and they got their first-round pick, a linebacker, shadowing a linebacker going to the Hall, not in camp because of the fight over tackling and other issues. I'm not just saying the tackling, other issues. It's a big distraction and an unknown. So it's really dynamic that this is changing. And Danny Trevathan's right. I was on Bears Hour Live that very next day with Aldo, and I defended Danny Trevathan. I defended him. I defend him now because his point of launching was into the chest. The defensive football player, wrapped up or not, we've seen it 100 times, spins out of tackles, goes down the sideline, scores. He's cleaning up. If we're going to let these scrums go on with offensive linemen jumping on pile, pushing backs in, then we got to understand that the defense has to be able to do something similar. Now, we can argue 90-degree, 30-degree, Danny Trevathan's hit, but they're looking for those knockout blows is what I thought. And I thought the best rule of plan was the one you already had in punishing those who are doing that type of action. And almost like a union or a state agency, we're going to punish everybody. We're going to change this whole thing up. We're not going to explain it. It's just going to be there. And that's the unfortunate thing about this. And Nagy and company are just, you know, professionals. You got to adjust to it. We'd all have to adjust to it. We have no choice right now. But to me, as much as I love football, I'm so excited about the season. That is one of those things, like when you leave that one thing at the grocery store, BG, you decide, you know, you're like, damn, I left it in the back. This is what the damn, I wish we left this out, because now we're going to have to see, as Nagy said, you got to hope that it doesn't affect you in a critical game. And we know how things have affected the Bears in critical games. So it's okay to be pessimistic with this. It's okay to have concerns. It's okay to ask questions. And it's okay to be disappointed. And that's where we are with this, because Aldo was out there today. He didn't get to see them in pads. There was very limited physical stuff. So, guys, I am so concerned about these two main topics we're talking about, because they're going to be big issues.
Well, Dustin Reagan Padilla is in the house tonight, and he's in the chat room, and he's sharing that the NFL reviewed all of its hits last year and determined that only 3 of 40,000 would have resulted in an ejection.
I heard that stat today. I also don't know, what about how many of those 40,000 tackles were penalties considered? I get the ejection. The ejection will automatically be a suspension, by the way. Will the penalty, a 15-yard penalty, be a suspension, or will it be reviewed and subject to a suspension? This is where this is wrong. You got it? Now you're adding big joke boy Al into the equation with the commissioner who's suspension happy. And listen, I don't make stuff up. There seems to be a lot of yellow flags on the field when we play a certain team in the same color. I could call it out. I could see it with my own eyes. Balls are spotted wrong. There are questionable things about the league. I'll be the first one to tell you. But with this being so subjective and somebody legislating it who has a tendency to see things completely polar opposite. I mean, it was getting to the point where we were playing a game with my friends, like on a review that he was on. This is a surefire first down. Actually, there was one in the Bears game where Jimmy Garoppolo gets stopped a full half yard short. There's not a question in my mind that the worst fan of football, you decide who that friend of yours is. He got, oh yeah, it's short. The 49er fan was like, ah, we were short. No, you got the first down on review. And to me, that's scary when it comes to an even larger subjective thing. Something so easy as a first down, right? A quarterback sneak that's stuffed by Eddie Goldman and Hakeem Hicks, a full half yard short, not even close. And the announcer, I think it was Johnston, he's like, oh, he didn't get it. You could see it right there. First down, Al Riveron review. And that, my friends, is a problem.
Good old Al. Well, I want to get to some of the Ask BHL questions, and I'm not going to get to them all tonight, guys, because most of them are about Roquan Smith, and this is not going to be the Roquan Smith Bears Hour Live episode. We have tons of stuff to cover, and those of you that voted in the chat room are over it and are ready to move on. But the question that's all over Twitter and the internet and in every article I've read is comparing Roquan to Tremaine Edmonds of the Bills, saying that he is signed with the added clauses that Roquan wants. And why is it taking forever for the Bears and Pace to do the same? And I want you to react to that.
Those came
from Ben Drasula and Dan Walker.
Well, boys, it's very, very confusing because we're on the outside. Usually when a GM comes on a radio show in the midst of a huge story like this, he's going to have something pertinent to say in regards to that situation. But you heard, and I'm reading through the tea leaves here, him praise the agency, and we have good relationship with them because they're going back and forth on this, and it shouldn't be that. So, yes, I didn't know about the Tremaine Edmonds. Also, I learned tonight through a very valuable source that Sam Darnold also had these things waived in his contract. So if the league is changing, and I'm stealing from my dad, who's as old school football minded as you could possibly be an offensive line coach, but he put it best in regards to the Bears. If the rules are changing, then you got to acclimate to that situation. And the Bears have got to follow suit with everybody else to align the change that's coming in regards to football. And he's right. So the Bears have to be the ones to give a little because of the Edmonds deal, because of the Saquon Barkley deal and the Darnold deal. These are quarterbacks. Everybody's in camp. You're the only one not there. Now I'm getting fired up again, Drasula. But it's so frustrating because of the change. Like, would this happen if there was no rule change?
Good question. No. We'll never know.
I could tell you 100% no. He would have been signed. Trust me. So this big albatross, so to speak, you know, people are making it to politics and Trumpisms and this and that. It comes down to one thing. My father, in my mind, is right. There's a change. Everybody's got to – your coach just said it. We hope it doesn't affect us, but – you know, these guys have done it, but they got to do it. We hope it doesn't hurt us in a critical. Well, you drafted this guy to make plays. You got to coach him up. We're teaching our guys, and trust that. And you waive that because you drafted this guy and you believe in him. So it's got to change because it's the league has changed. So the Bears, and if Ted Phillips is, I did contracts back then. I want to be involved. I'm going to fly on a plane. We're almost going to fall, and we're going to get this deal done. How about let's just get it done without the drama? We know what it is. Every contract in the draft is in. Let's come to an agreement in regards to a changing philosophy of the NFL. And that's the only way this is going to get done, because as BG's shook her head, you couldn't see her. I know her body language, and she put her head to the side like, yeah, that's a tough question. I know it's not, because this wouldn't happen. But she's right. It is a tough question for everybody to think about. That's how big this change is. It's affected the whole playing field of contracts, politics, agents, what they're doing for their next clients. So that's why I know that it's on both. But really, the Bears have to draw first blood here. And that's really it.
Let's switch topics, because there's actually another story coming out of camp that no one's really talking about today. And it's actually Helfrich's candid appraisal of Mitch Trubisky's strengths and weaknesses. And there's a couple of clips I want to play for you. In this first clip, he was asked if Trubisky had learned the system entirely. And this is what he had to say.
In our chairs, it's never quick enough. You know, you're always kind of pushing the envelope in every way, whether it's the run game, combination routes, different covers, all the things that we've seen. He's managed it well. He has. But, you know, you're going to keep pushing because it might be in there. And to this point, it has been. And so now it's just a matter. We're at that point of install. We're almost at the tail end of our install. And so you'll get more of the same play against a different defense and kind of double the reps with everything. And that'll help a lot when you pare down to a game plan situation rather than, you know, any play can come at him at this point of training camp. And so that's hard as a quarterback to, you know, kind of translate and then execute. But he's done a good job to this point.
So what is the goal for Thursday? What do you want?
He was then asked another question and volunteered this information about Trubisky's interceptions.
He has been, yeah. It's you know, there's obviously turn the ball over too much. Some of that's been his fault, some of it not, which is usually the case. But the quarterback gets the blame, and so we'll get it fixed. But it's so far so good. We're nowhere where we need to be. But we're you know, whatever that right word is, trending in the right direction.
So why is no one talking about this, Phil?
I don't know, but I want to translate coach speak for the fan base, because we're all going to, you know, use our way of negotiating what he's saying. But in real philosophy of football and installing a new system from where you were last season in regards to play calling, formations. I mean, I said it on last Bears 100 Proof and Bears Hour Live about you seeing trading going on and trading the formation and moving the whole identity of what it is you want to dictate to the defense. You had an offensive coordinator saying the opposite last year. So here's this young kid in his second year learning a whole new language. So think about that. I remember going to college and I took Italian in high school, went to college. The guidance counselor is like, take Spanish. Go to my first Spanish class. Everybody's speaking Spanish. I'm like, what am I doing? I got out of that class like literally instantly. But think about in that process, you're learning a whole new language, formations. We talked about it thousands of times. If the Sandy Tom computer sheet printed out, there'd be thousands of me saying, you got to give a different formation and motion to dictate what coverage is for the kid. They don't even do that. It happened on occasion. You can count on two hands how many times it happened. So he's now learning and calling plays out of different formations. And really to process this information just to get the players and people lined up appropriately. You got a player that doesn't know his play, and you go out there and waste a rep. You lose your mind because this kid's, the quarterback's having to learn it. So there's so many parts to understand an offensive coordinator who has a huge volume of plays and ideas and creativity and being aggressive. The only way to install that is quick or slow, depending on how your team digests it. So you're looking at this kid digesting the playbook, wanting more. He's got everything you want. No offensive coordinator in the right mind is 8 practices in, 1-2 days before their first scrimmage, telling you everything's in. He's perfect. He's great. You hear that crap from BSers. He clearly knows, and I know, everybody should know. This isn't even, we're not even at the point of playing Green Bay. That's what this is all about. That's why I say don't worry about interceptions. They don't matter. I've seen Tom Brady throw 6 interceptions in a practice. Did New England panic, or do they go? It's mind-boggling, the narratives of how you're going to go. This is a guy that's established in his offense for 25 years of football. So here's a kid learning a new philosophy, new OC, offensive-minded head coach who knows he's going to be calling the plays. So this all is being what we wanted. We wanted truth. You're getting it. Now you can't be fooled by the truth. You need people to absolutely translate the truth, because the media departments, the David Haws and the Morrisseys and Campbells and these guys are going to take the negative and shine the biggest light on the negative in order to get clicks, because they know you. They know you're going to get pissed off. They know that. But they're also going to do a damage to a psyche of a person, another human being. And that always bothered me in this town, because I live right by New York. They bury Eli. They did a lot of different things. But the one thing they didn't ever do is worry about stats in practice, in shorts, for God's sake, in helmets. To me, it's asinine. To me, the offensive coordinator is being everything I want to hear. Truthful, honest. We're nowhere near where we want to be because we're about to play our first scrimmage. And Mitch is probably going to get a series. Okay? So take a chill. Recognize honesty now and support that honesty, because there's a long way to go. A lot of football to be played. There's going to be injuries to teams all throughout the league that are going to be affected, and now all of a sudden the strength of schedule is going to go down a little bit because this and all every year this happens. So football is so amazing. At the same time, it's not as complicated as media want to make it to be. It is very complex, but the stories they want to make are simply squashed, as I'm doing right now. Helfrich is putting in their philosophies, everything they want to do, from the Reich scheme and the Reed scheme to his Chip Kelly philosophy and screen game, and all of that stuff has got to go in. And every formation has got to be run out of, and there's so much to process that we're not there yet. But we're going to get there, and there's nothing to be even worried about. Trust me.
So Bilbo Baggins is in the chat room, and he says the media is running out of things to write about. And
exactly.
Your favorite sidekick is also in the chat room. Shane, the smartest man in the bar room, says Phil is so right about practice interceptions. The media is making it a thing is laughable.
It is. And you know what? It works. because I have people DM me, oh my God, are you worried about me? I'm worried. And that's why I needed to address it tonight. And I know Shane is probably chomping at the bit too, because he's from the same tree as me. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Really isn't. This you want to know fear? A guy that's afraid to make a play. That's fear. That's when you're never going to win. Hey, guess what I just read today? Aaron Rodgers threw four picks in his practice. You think fans are worried? No. If he was a rookie, would they worry? Yes, because the media would run with that and they would tell a story. So just know that Mitch, despite his 13 starts narrative, played in 40-something games. And guess what? He was the state of Ohio player of the year in the state. He's played this game since he's a little kid, okay? There was a K for Shane. I can't express this enough. There's a certain vibe about people that tell me who they are. I could see a BSer. You might not want to hear me talk about them, change the channel. Because that's what I do. That's what this whole Bears Bar, Bears Hour Live is about. It's about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And a lot of BS is ugly. Let's be honest. So I'm not going to BS you on Mitch. He's played this game. He knows the game. He's showing me. I mean, turning around. Let's talk about that story that I tweeted out, I quote tweeted, a leader. We saw a guy in a U.S. Army or Navy, I can't remember which uniform. He's riding at his golf cart. He turns the whole golf cart around to go sign a signature for it. When have you seen that? When is that story going to be talked about and highlighted, and what kind of leader he is? I know with Cutler, Tom Jackson took it an opportunity to point out that he didn't say what up going on the football field in an NFC championship game nervous to a street vendor at Soldier Field. So how about we take an opportunity to recognize the kid is learning a new system. He's been a tremendous leader. Everyone's heaping praise on him, including the head coach. Because I know you're giving me hell, Fritch, but I heard some of Nagy's quotes. He dropped bombs on these interceptions like I did. He's speaking my language. He's the head coach. So they're going to happen. Let's be aggressive. And guess what? If you don't make mistakes, you don't learn. If you throw an interception because you put the ball in the wrong spot, guess where you need to put it the next time? The right spot. And that, my friends, is how you win in November and December. You want to win in August with Dan Campbell and company, whoever that is, whatever they're, Morrissey and Campbell and all these people writing stories about this, it matters zero. Watch what Mitch does the next preseason game. Because this, he's going to throw one pass, I bet. I'll be surprised if he throws more. I won't be shocked. I'll be surprised. But that's what we're going to assess. And let me promise you this. I did it before. I'm going to do it again. There was not even close. It wasn't a millisecond near it. The competition between Mitch Trubisky and Mike Glennon. It was so frustrating. And someday, pull the audio of me flipping out. Because it was so important to me that it wasn't even close. It should not have started. It should have been an open competition. I said it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Right now, it's not even close either. This kid's ready. He's learning. He's working. He's going to be special. You got to believe in the process. You got to believe in all the moving parts surrounding him and the coaching, number one. That is the biggest difference, and that will pay off. So you just got to believe, and you just got to pray there's no injuries at all. Because this kid, I believe, and just watching, and thank you, Aldo. Thank you, Greg. Zeke, Ryan, and others, Air Jer, all of you going out there filming these practices to give me a look at what is transpiring so I know where things should be taken and directed appropriately.
So this show always brings the truth, and we now have fact checkers who are hanging out in the chat room. We've got two barflies who are letting us know that it was three picks for Aaron Rodgers, and that was Bilbo Baggins and our friend Trey Bisbee. Couple more helpful audio clips, and then we're going to bring in the Godfather himself to tell us all about camp. So Helfrich was asked, what does he want to see from Mitch before the season opener? And this is what he had to say.
Total command. You know, just of right now, you can see a guy, and you can see any player, you know, you kind of process things, and you see the head nod as the play comes in, like he's going, okay, that's that formation and that, you know, motion, this protection, that route. Those things just become instantaneous, and in a game plan situation, you know, he'll know what's coming. And so for a quarterback, you just want an immediate picture in your head of what's going on, one thing to think about, not seven. You know, right now we're still at that stage where it's, okay, who's at this position, what's my personnel group, what's the snap count, you know, all the things that take place. It is truly a process right now, whereas that will be seamless.
He was also asked,
you keep throwing
as a quarterback,
two at me.
Trubisky,
you're killing
all, yes, I'm going to double it up every single time.
Follow I like to respond to that one because it was speaking my language perfectly. He said exactly what I said. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll let you respond to it. We've lined up the other audio, and then we'll bring in Aldo. Go ahead.
All right. So basically, he's telling you it's the process. There's so much to learn because, you know, here's where you can't have it both ways. You have these analysts and narrative writers on television and national people, respected football people. It's going to take them a year. You know, they're going to be good. They're going to be improved. You know, it's a lot to learn. It's going to take them a year. But then those same people are now, well, here's this, six interceptions in the last 3 days of practice. You got to work. I hope it goes down to you can't have it both. How do you learn? You make mistakes. How do you get better? You make mistakes. You learn from them. You know what fits. And when I look at Mitch Trubisky just talking about Helfrich in the controls, knowing his personnel, knowing what they want to do, knowing the game plan, all the things he didn't have last year. Let's be honest. It's not a fallacy. This is reality that we talked about thousands of times on Bears Barroom. And while the media were writing other stories, we're talking about the offensive coordinator and the head coach being a problem, not the kid. But one thing I learned about Mitch Trubisky in the chaos of last season is he's a playmaker when it matters most. And we saw that happening even in the toughest of games and tightest of games. The kid wasn't the reason you lost. And I could think of maybe the Minnesota Viking game. You could say, well, he threw that interception at the end. And that would be all I could think of. Because every other thing, the kid, despite it all breaking down, the game plan, the play, he was able to scramble, find an open target, do it on the move. And all those things are going to be a part of him too. So they don't go away. They only get better now. So I think Helfrich is completely telling you it's a process and he's going through it right now to get better. And the more he gathers, the better he's going to be. And if he doesn't, you're going to be seeing plays that he feels comfortable with. And I'm certain there's over thousands of plays off of formations alone. So think about that for a minute and then talk to me. So I don't question this kid's work ethic or his football acumen whatsoever.
So he was also asked, as a quarterback, does Trubisky have all of the requirements to be a top quarterback in the league? And this is what he had to say.
There's nothing, you know, there's nothing as far as tick the box, you know, that he doesn't have. And that's our job to again, play to his strengths, play what he's play to what he has the most confidence in, and that's where we'll sit down and pare down. Okay, hey, these, you know, we think these 17 things are great ideas, but if he doesn't have total confidence in those things, it doesn't matter. But yeah, he's got a great release. He sees things pretty well, and that's the thing. Probably if he had anything to just, you know, processing why we're doing A, B, and C, that's ongoing. It's not slow, but it's you know, it's never immediate, which is what every coach wants.
And I am going to bring in the man himself behind the control desk. The barkeep is joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show, Draft Dr. Phil and Bears Girl. I listen to your show every week. It's like going to church on Monday nights. This is therapeutic. This cleanses my soul. I listen to Draft Dr. Phil preach Chicago Bears football, and at the end of the 2.5 hours of Bears Hour Live, I walk away totally healed and ready for another week of listening to bullshit media reports. And so I thank you guys tremendously for cleansing the soul and making me a wiser man.
Thank you for calling in tonight, and long time listener, first time caller. Yeah. But I appreciate you. You know, you did a great job today. All jokes aside, I think one of the things that I really wanted to talk about that Aldo was able to capture, aside from Anthony Miller, and we'll get into that, but you were able to capture Trey Burton and his comfort level in the little diagonal box I call the diamond when you're attacking the short area by the front cone of the end zone, that you have athleticism to separate, control your body, and create a place for a quarterback to deliver. This kid does it on the sideline. Aldo captured that. He does it in the end zone. I mean, that was just such a acrobatic adjustment. Everything you want to see. Like, Trey Burton, not many people are talking about him, but in those plays, I know. I talked to the smartest man earlier. He's seeing it too. This kid is something special and good. They're probably going to hide him. They're probably not going to use him much or whatever. And it'll be funny to hear that narrative later. And that's me taking Shane's words. I don't ever want to steal anyway. He said it to me too. And I was exactly thinking it. But Aldo was able to capture. So go on Bears Barham's Twitter and you could see some of the plays that Aldo put up there. But I wanted to recognize your camera work and capturing the Trey Burton stuff, and obviously the Anthony Miller stuff. For me, I coined it a flamenco class because of the footwork, and not many people. My wife went and lived in Spain, and she always shows me flamenco dance, and when the guys do it, they're so precise with it. It's actually an art form. But when you look at footwork like that on a football field, it's so precision and quick that it forces the defender to be on an island guessing. And if you have that kind of confident football player, and Aldo, obviously that video's going trending because it was such a great shot. And it was such a showcase of this kid's talent that we've all been praising and preaching about. And we talked about Greg saying the oh wows, and there's something really special about it. So you did a great job down there. Appreciate you doing it and giving me stuff to look at. And there's a lot more to get into here.
Well, I'm really disappointed that I didn't get a chance to meet up with Greg Braggs Jr., your guest from last week's show. I was hoping to get some pointers from him on really capturing things. But, you know, I figured that today was more of a flag football practice without the hitting, and so I decided to kind of isolate on receivers, and I got lucky on a number of shots, and there were some other shots that I missed that I said I'm going to isolate on Adam Shaheen on this play, and I couldn't get the camera rolling in time. He made a sensational catch at the corner of the end zone that all of the fans got up on their feet and applauded. It was just sensational, and this was after I had already captured him making some really nice catches in the red zone. Now, he was going up against second stringers, and so that has to be noted. And then after practice, Mark Helfrich talked about Shaheen still needing to refine some of his route running, that he's not as precise with every single route that they have in the route tree as they want him to be. So those are things that he has to work on. But he clearly has the physical skills, the blocking skills, the running skills to be a really top-notch tight end. And then to your point regarding Trey Burton, you know, I initially thought that Trey was probably, because he's a first-year receiver with the system, hadn't played with Trubisky before, but it's clear that these guys are achieving a connection, and quite possibly Trey will be the leader in receptions and be that third down, let's get out of trouble, I'm going to look for Trey to move the chains type of wide receiver. I'm really excited about that connection that's going to happen between the two of those guys. And then I was reading some of the comments in the MixLR chat room here, and I think Aaron was looking into my mind here, because he was talking about the very same players I wanted to talk about tonight: Adam Shaheen, Trey Burton, and Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen today was just unbelievable, man. Well, he was
About Cohen for a minute here.
I saw him lined up in six different spots in the backfield and at wideout, inside. He was all over the field, and so I just said, every time he goes on the field, I'm just going to put my camera on him because something cool is going to happen. And I captured two or three really cool shots of him. And then there was a really cool soundbite from Coach Helfrich about Tariq Cohen and the versatility that he offers, that I want to play for you right now. And here
absolutely is.
Well, he's awesome. He's fun to coach. He's a guy that he literally, you can tell him anything to line up at any position. He'll do it with an unbelievably great attitude, a giant smile on his face, and run 4.3. You know, so it's amazing how many ways, how many places that he's never lined up before. And you say, hey, it's like this, and it goes out and does it, and it's that's invaluable, you know, to be able to kind of plug and play a guy like that that has the characteristics that he has with the ball in his hands is rare.
Kevin, wait a
second. I'm telling you, we never talk about fantasy football here on this show, but I since we're doing the Fantasy Football Bears Barroom League, my number one piece of advice for people, if you're playing in a PPR league, a pass per reception, a point per reception, you got to target Tariq Cohen in the first two or three rounds, because this kid is going to be a top fantasy guy. He's going to get those points for pass receptions. He's going to get those yards from receptions. He's going to get those yards from rushing. And he could quite likely get you 7 to 10 touchdowns this year. I really think that Tariq Cohen is on the verge of superstardom. He could be alongside, he could end up being on that Mount Rushmore of great Chicago running backs, offensive players like Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, and Tariq Cohen. There's a really good chance that could happen with this guy, particularly with this offensive coaching staff that is going to be so creative utilizing him all over the football field. Bears fans, you got to be excited about it. You know, I saw for every Tariq Cohen jersey I saw at camp today, I saw maybe 25 Trubisky jerseys. I'm telling you right now, go out and buy yourself a Tariq Cohen jersey, because that's guaranteed, superstardom. You guys know that I only buy jerseys of guys who have retired, because I don't want want to be the guy at camp today who was wearing a Brandon Marshall jersey, or the guy who was wearing an Alshon Jeffrey jersey. How can you show up to camp wearing jerseys of players who are no longer on the Bears? That's disgusting. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wear your Ditka jersey. Wear your Butkus jersey, your Peyton jersey, your Sayers jersey, your Trubisky jersey, your Cohen jersey. Those are the ones that I want to see out there. Not Alshon Jeffrey. I think I saw one of Josh McCown. what is that? So anyways,
it's funny how they do that.
I had a great time out there, and I got to tell you one other thing before I run out of gas here. The feeling in the crowd, and I think Greg talked about this last week, the feeling in the crowd is so upbeat. You know, there is this sense that something special is happening with this team, and I sensed it when I was there and talking to the people in line and people seated around me. This could be a really special season for the Bears franchise.
Well, I isolated players for you to talk about. Obviously, you talk about Cohen. I think a lot of people are going to be eating a lot of words about this young man. I know if you're a bar fly and been one, you listened to our draft coverage last year, and I compared this kid to Tariq Hill. And now you got the offensive coordinator who's our head coach, who's worked with that kind of talent. And listening to that soundbite, you know, words like amazing. I mean, the excitement in the guy's voice is clear and easy to read how excited he is about what Tariq Cohen not only can do physically, but the mental part of being able to give you snaps and make you more dangerous and creative. See, that's the key. And when you, I hate to do it, reflect back on how this guy wasn't on third down and shows I would flip out on and cuss and embarrass my mom because I'm so fired up that how is a Benny Cunningham on the football field on third down and not a Tariq Cohen? So I am so excited that they're actually using a mechanism to get their best football players on the football field. It's called football intelligence. And Aldo's seeing it and feeling it. We brought up Trey Burton. I want to stay with Adam Shaheen, Aldo, another guy that's been knocked down, picked apart. But again, a guy that we hear, all of us, Shane, you, me, talked about Trey busy on shows. Don't want to forget anybody. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, have them quit the show or something, walk out of a chat room, dismiss themselves. I just want to say with Shaheen, you look at him and how he was used inappropriately last year, never in the red zone, not enough in the red zone. And granted, he got hurt, but the clear showcases of weeks where he was there and you're second and goal from the 7 yard line and a nice play action fake to a tight end that can high point the football and he's a big man. Mm-hmm. And I know the play you're talking about. One of the plays he went up against your starting nickel, yep. You know, he's got to make the play and Shaheen bodied him, pulled it in, brought down the football. And this isn't the first rodeo for Shaheen doing this. That's the unfortunate thing. But now they have this talent, Aldo. So I'm excited about him. I know you've been excited about this football player, but I feel like there's two players from your last year's draft class that weren't used appropriately that the crowd's excited because they are. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, Kyle Fuller got this contract, Aldo. A lot of writers, bloggers, we should match it. Let him go to Green Bay. How would that be today? And what did you see in Kyle Fuller? You guys know how I feel about it, felt about it, and feeling about it. I think he's been the best defensive player so far. But talk to me about him today, Aldo. What did you see?
Kyle Fuller had an excellent day today. He got burned on one play by Anthony Miller, but aside from that, he played well. And I was watching him for a long period of time, again, because I was isolating on players. And he looked so focused and zoned in. I mean, mm-hmm. he was totally into whatever the assignments were that Fangio and the defensive coaches were giving him. He was focused in on that. And I saw him after the game signing autographs. They had a special day where kids were allowed the front row to sign autographs, and he stopped by to sign autographs right in front of me, and he still had that really focused look on his face. He was very polite and signing everybody's autograph, as many as he could, but you could still tell that he was in that zone, that mm-hmm. he's on a mission to prove his naysayers wrong and to continue his ascension into one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And you know, I wish you were there to sitting next to me so that you could talk to me about his technique and what he's doing right or wrong with hips and so forth. But to my amateur eyes, it didn't look like there was anything wrong that he was doing. I thought he had a really good practice. And I have to bring up one other guy. Maybe he was on your list. DeAndre Hall today, I thought...
I was going to ask you about him. There you go.
I thought he had an excellent practice. I put that one video of him tapping a pass, but it went beyond that. He was excellent in coverage in many other instances. He was playing the safety position. He was having fun out there. He was dancing to the music, but never in a manner that gave you the idea that he wasn't focused on what he was doing. I think he took a step forward in today's practice. And again, it was not a padded practice. It was just the install of plays for both offense and defense. But I am really looking forward to his game on Thursday. I bet he's going to get a lot of time at the Hall of Fame game at the safety position. I'm really anxious to see him play there. He could be a phenomenal player. With those long arms, I mean, his knuckles mm-hmm. were dragging the grass, man. This kid is
it's funny because some of the critics on Twitter were saying he is an unknown. So it's cool that you're getting a different kind of vibe from this, because I'm excited about seeing that football player.
Yeah,
well, I saw the play you put up. That's an impressive football play.
Yep, it really
Say
is.
Whatever you want. That's a completion 95% of the time that he gets his arm up there to be able to get in that little pocket you want your quarterback to dump it, and it was a good pass. Mm-hmm. Just a better defensive play.
Yeah, you know, we have to be patient with a lot of these mid-round draft picks. I mean, mm-hmm. when DeAndre Hall first came to the team, everybody was talking about, you know, he should be starting, and he had an injury-filled rookie season. But you know, he's a developmental player. You can't expect in the first season or two that he's going to step in there and get the job done. He's got to absorb NFL football. He comes from Northern Iowa. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, give the guy some time. I think he's ascending. He's not going to start this season, but he's going to give you some valuable snaps in there. And I didn't see any special teams play, but if he can excel at special teams, who knows? Maybe a guy like Josh Bellamy, who, by the way, had a pretty good day today, I have to admit, at wide receiver. He caught almost everything thrown at him. I saw him drop just one pass, but I thought he had a good day. You know, I think Josh Bellamy is going to make this team no matter how much we praise.
You're reading my mind. This is how close this family is, because real quick, as BG pulls her hair, because Aldo, you said you focused on the receivers. I think it's important to a fan base, you know. I saw the video footage that Greg, you, and others supplied. So my vantage point for this is through clips. And there's other body language. And Aldo, you just did a great job. Just, you know, you're saying non-expert or whatever, but you talked about Kyle's focus and his demeanor. You just saw it different, you know. Maybe the love the Bears showed him has built his confidence up and not the other with a negative thing. Oh, he's going to get paid. He can give a crap now. I don't want to risk it. No, how about pay the best and reward them? We talked about that on the show. You're showing it that you saw it. This is a different focus, Kyle, and that's awesome. Now look at these receivers, because you talked about one I wanted to know about, Josh Bellamy. Josh Bellamy, to me, his history, you got to give him a clean slate. As much as I, you know, despise the drops, if you're going to go out there and make plays, that's – I can't be a hypocrite. It's all about getting better. So you – I'm seeing Josh Bellamy from years past, like you, get open, really run a great route, and drop a football in a critical situation. So if you're improving that, hey, more power to you. That's better for the Bears. So – yes, you answered my question on him. Is he as good as he looks? Now on to the next guy. You're high-priced. You know, you went out there, and granted, it's early. He's coming off an injury, but I like what I'm seeing in Allen Robinson, fresh off an injury in a new offense with a new team. How did he look to you?
Sure hands. He doesn't look like he is at 100% speed wise. Mm-hmm. He's running well, but I would bet you that if you put him under a lie detector, he would tell you speed wise he's probably yet 90-95% or something like that. I anticipate that, you know, we probably won't see him at top notch speed until midseason or so. Mm-hmm. If knock on wood, he doesn't sustain any further injuries this season, you know, gets nicked up and stuff, has a slight hamstring or whatever. But he just didn't quite look as fast as I anticipate that he can be. But nonetheless, boy, you talk about a presence. This kid is 6'3", you know, 215 mm-hmm. pounds. He was getting open and catching the ball. I don't think we've got a problem at all with Allen Robinson. We probably won't see much of him in the first three exhibition games. It won't be till the fourth exhibition game, which would normally be the third exhibition game, that I think he'll play all three quarters, and he will do well. So no problems there. This is money well spent.
Anthony Miller, obviously, he's been the highlight show, the talk of the town. I don't think he's getting talked about enough nationally. I think your video that you took has traveled and started trending for Bears Barroom. If you're not following or subscribing or leaving a review there, then you're letting me down. So don't let me down. Don't let Bears Girl down, because I don't want to see the evil eye come out. So go over there.
Shane has already asked all the barflies in the chat room to go leave a review like 5 minutes ago.
But I'm talking to the podcast listener tomorrow, which is today for you listening. Take the time out. We appreciate it there. Doing the work for you guys. Aldo, Anthony Miller video went worldwide and you captured it. How about the player himself? Is he as good as advertised so far?
Without a doubt. This guy is a steal at set the second round. And I heard some sports guy says, well, you know, he came at a big price, next year's second round pick. Come on, what are you talking about? We got a second round pick this year who is really a first rounder. This guy should have been the first receiver out of the board. There's no doubt in my mind that if he is not the number one wide receiver in terms of receptions and yardage among the rookie class this year of wide receivers, it's only because the Bears offense is going to do such a great job of spreading the ball around because they have so many weapons. But this guy is going to be Mr. Clutch. Just like Trey, I spoke about with Trey Burton, on plays where you need a guy to get open, Anthony Miller's mm-hmm. footwork is just unbelievable. And, you know, for those people who were concerned about the drop passes, don't you worry. That's not going to be an issue, because this coaching staff is preaching to him about ball security. That's one of the things that I found to be really impressive about the coaching staff this year, and on both sides of the ball, and what they're preaching about for the offense, securing the ball in the defense and popping out the ball and creating some fumbles and so forth. But back to Miller, this guy is going to quickly, very, very quickly pay dividends, and we should be super excited. That's another jersey that I wouldn't mind getting my hands on, number 17, Anthony Miller.
Well, two more. So
that clip was posted 12 hours ago, and it has already received 64,000 views on Twitter.
Whoa!
Wow.
Holy shit, I'm a bad mother. Ooh.
Family show.
You and Greg Braggs are going to be battling back and forth for trending Bears videos.
I'm going to see Greg next Saturday at camp, and I'm going to buy him a couple of beers and toast his work. He's an inspiration to anybody carrying a camera at Bears camp. Do it the way Greg does.
Well, you did a great job, Al. Seriously, I don't mince my words. It really captured the route and the player. So
thank you.
You know, a clock strikes twice. What is it? You could say that.
Clock is right twice every day.
There you go.
That's why she's the moderator of the show, because you and I would never have gotten that right.
Exactly.
Been around you guys long enough.
You are an Emmy Award winning producer. I'm trying to win an Oscar or whatever, an Emmy, something for Academy.
Grammy.
What am I trying to? A Grammy. Thank you. See, she's such tremendous moderator.
It's unbelievable.
A Grammy for one of my barroom songs that I'll be throwing down. Teaser tomorrow. A couple songs. So, Kevin White, Aldo. We know the story, and the force feeding him, the tense that I talked about, trying too hard, not knowing his plays, not being in the right play. What'd you see of him? You saw him live. I know you're a fan of Kevin. You're pulling for Kevin. Yeah. You've said all these things, and you always keep it 100 too. So what'd you think of Kevin, honestly?
It wasn't a mistake-free day for him. There were some blemishes, but nonetheless, what he did well, he did really well. And this guy, again, mm-hmm. he's another imposing figure with speed. His speed, I think, looks to me like it is back to the level that we saw at West Virginia. And, you know, I Helfrich talked about Kevin White after practice and talked about, you know, the deal with Kevin is consistency and to get his confidence back. Again, you know, it's interesting that he volunteered that word confidence. So there's something in this kid's psyche that, you know, and perhaps it's because all the setbacks that he's had. You know, maybe it's normal for anybody to feel that way. But yeah, perhaps when he makes a mistake or something goes wrong, or maybe he feels a little twinged, the confidence wanes and stuff. But the coaching staff is just doing a really good job of keeping his confidence up and teaching him the techniques that he needs to become a solid NFL receiver. I don't think we're ever going to get the superstar that we hoped to get, but we could very well get a guy that's going to catch 60 to 80 passes and 6 to 8 touchdowns a year.
Wow.
I really do believe that this guy is going to make the team. He's going to see lots of snaps, and he's really going to contribute to this team. And at the end of the season, it's going to be a tough decision for Ryan Pace on whether or not to re-sign this guy or risk letting him go and see him go to a team where he then begins to fulfill his potential.
Wow. So I'm excited to see this kid play. Hear you say that, you know, I'll be happy with 50 balls if he could catch 50, to be perfectly honest. So if he's going to do that, I would say I'd be ecstatic. Because I have my concerns mentally. Because, like I said, I believe this game is 85% mental. And if he's forcing or worried or doubting and going through the cloud in your brain, then he's not playing like Kevin White should. So I'm excited to hear you say that, because I want to see what he does. I hope they don't piecemeal this and give him five plays with the starters and pull him out. I want to believe, because, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this on 100 Proof and preview the game, but I want to believe that Kevin's going to play no less than a half of football against the Ravens, because I think in looking at this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but is this a 180 in regards to wide receiver or weaponry talent?
Oh, my goodness. I totally agree. You know what I'm super excited about is that we have a head coach who has sent a warning to everybody in the NFL that we're going to take shots downfield. That this head coach is a gambler. He's going to go downfield. And now we've got guys who are proficient at it. You've got Taylor Gabriel. You've got Tariq Cohen. You've got Allen Robinson. You've got Kevin White. These guys can get downfield in a hurry and make the big catch. Then you add to that Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen, that against certain matchups, they're going to win battles downfield on long balls. We could see a very explosive offense by the middle of the season once this offense starts to gel. And, you know, one of the things that those sound bites from Mark Helfrich I thought were really, really instructive about this team. This is really all about Mitch Trubisky, and you very eloquently talked about it when you were commenting on these sound bites, Phil. This is all about Trubisky properly processing everything that's going on in this offense. And this is a work in progress. It's going to take them some games. And so the coaches have to be very careful early in the season to pick the right plays, call the right plays for a quarterback who is just getting into his own. But I bet that by the time we get to the second half of the season, and if I remember correctly, that second half of the season is easier than the first half of the season, this offense is going to be on explosion mode. We're going to be seeing Mitch throwing for 300 to 400 yards a game, and receivers like Trey Burton, Kevin White, and so forth having explosive 20-plus yard receptions that are going to look really, really awesome. This team is really capable of doing something special this year.
You're getting people fired up, I tell you that. I'm sure the chat room is open and alive, but one last guy, I know Taylor Gabriel has been sparking and whatever, but one guy I said don't turn the page on this kid is Tanner Gentry. I wanted to see what you thought about him, because a lot of time undrafted guy, but here was a guy used again in the Shaheen and Tariq Cohen appropriately that I thought would shine and wasn't appropriately used. So what did you see out of him? And then I have one last question after that.
I was surprised at how well he played, and I shouldn't be surprised, but I was. He was a presence in practice today, making some solid catches, and he's got that really top-notch speed. So I was really happy to see him become a factor in what is clearly going to be the toughest decision by this Chicago Bears coaching staff and general manager when they get to roster cutdown. It's going to be at that wide receiver position, because they've got players there. And so the Tanner Gentry, again, I don't know what he's doing on special teams or if he's doing anything, but that's the way he's going to make this team. But as a wide receiver, this guy has talent. And if somehow, you know, this kid can be, you know, nurtured along, maybe he's not ready for prime time this year, and maybe another year in the practice squad developing him. He could be one of these guys that by year three is ready to develop. You know, he's got He could potentially be a Jordy Nelson type of player. And maybe, you know, I've been known to...
to really where's Mike? Where's the ball washer?
I've been known to make some really bad comparisons with certain players. But, you know, he's got that Jordy Nelson type speed. And so now it's just about developing the route tree and route precision. And you know, Jordy Nelson has always struck me as one of those guys that he would not have been nearly the type of player he was as an NFL player if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Those guys had a Zen-like quality between them that even when Jordy wasn't running fast after those surgeries, after those injuries that he had, he was still very productive for the Packers, catching 10-plus touchdowns. Right. I think it was a mistake for the Packers to let him go because, you know, that's just Aaron's game. The guy, Jordy, could play on one leg and still be productive. And Tanner could potentially be that player if they are patient with him and let him develop.
Well, my last thing, I know BG wants to get to questions from the chat, but one player that maybe no one's talking about or. Because let's face it, Aldo went, and that's why I really wanted to focus on defensive back and wide receivers, because in these non-padded practices, it's hard to see other things like the line play. Yeah. I think Matt Nagy made a great point talking about, some of these tip balls we're not worried about because in a game we'd be chopping there. They're, you know, what's down to the ground.
Right.
And there wouldn't be a tip ball. So these are non-padded. So really when you isolate it on the appropriate ones because the competition level at those positions can be had in regards to wide receivers. So one player, I know we talked about Hall, but somebody else that maybe no one really talked about, but he caught your eye. It could be anybody.
Oh, let's see, that we have not talked about. I would say Mike Burton. No, just kidding. I was disappointed that James Daniels did not suit today. He's got some shoulder issues, so that's something for us to keep an eye on. And Kyle Long, I was focused on him, and then when it became apparent that this wasn't a day for blocking, I sort of took my eyes off of the line play and focused on receivers and DBs. I would say that, you know, I was really pleased with how the backup quarterbacks played. Chase Daniel and what's the name of the other guy? Tyler Bray.
Tyler.
Yeah. Yep. You know, these guys are not, I don't think that they're as bad as I suspect that they were going to be. I mean, yeah, this practice wasn't a pass rush. You know, I don't know much about these guys, to be honest with you, and I thought that these guys were just guys that were brought in. I thought I was kind of hoping for somebody, you know, with like a Brian Hoyer to back up the team. But I think that these guys know this offense so well that in the event that they need to go in there for a quarter or hopefully, you know, never more than that, but if they have to, I think these guys can do a good job of managing the play, being effective at managing the game, being effective at making big plays when needed, and just doing enough to help us win football games behind this emerging defense. So I would say let's not worry at all about the backup quarterback situation. It's in good hands, and particularly because these guys know the offense so well, they're such great mentors and tutors for Mitch Trubisky. That's the most important thing out of the backup quarterbacks. But rest assured that if they see some, well, we're going to see lots of them on Thursday in the Hall of Fame game, and so I bet they're gonna do well. I really do.
Well, you saw the Eagles, you know, they needed to have their backup quarterback to continue the the journey to get the Lombardi Trophy. So
right,
and they awesome, did, they awesome did, point, Aldo.
They did a good job at bringing in a system quarterback for that offense, and that's what the Bears have done. Brought in system quarterbacks as backups. So yeah, I that's a good point regarding the Eagles.
Bears.
All right, Bears. Gentlemen. It is now Bears hour and a half live, and we still have almost 40 people listening in after 90 minutes of live content. I want to thank the Barflies who submitted Ask BHL questions that we hope we've had a chance to answer tonight with our various segments and player reviews. And Ben Driscula, Dan Walker, Dave Goldberg, Zeke, also known as Isaiah Robles, Jeremy Kramer, and Gaines Report. Before I go into schedule and very important barroom news, Phil, your final thought.
My final thought is finally, we're going to see Bears football. You know what I'm saying? It's been a wonderfully fun offseason. Bears barroom, I believe, has taken their Bears barroom flag and slammed it at the 50-yard line of Chicago Bears blogs and other podcasts. And we're here to stay. And I intend to be a part of this crew and family. And I want to thank all of you loyal listeners and supporters and tweeters and Facebookers and sharing it. And like I said, share it and write a review. And I can't wait to assess what transpires this week, because to me, I'm a psycho when it comes to young talent. I want to watch every snap. So I'll be breaking down the tapes, who stood out, and bringing that to the Bears barroom with video to prove, to have evidence. So that's my final thought. I want to thank Aldo Gandia for going out there and bringing this and for coming on the show with me tonight. First time caller, long time listener, producer, came on the show. The Bears barroom neon sign in the background is bright. It is beautiful. And it sends the message that we are open for business.
We are never closed. And we are back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 Proof that will have two special guests joining us. And you don't want to miss this episode. There will be plenty of breaking news. And we are happy to report that we are going to be back this week, Thursday night, live right here on MixLR, right after the Hall of Fame game. And we're going to be back at camp this weekend. Bears football is back, Barflies. Thank you to our Barflies keeping our chat room alive tonight. We love interacting with you each and every show. That wraps up this edition of Bears Owl Live. And guess what? We're going to see you all again on Thursday. Bye.
Did she say live on Thursday?
Live, baby.
Are we going live after this game? The smartest man?
Coming back.
All right. There you go, Barflies. Gaines Report. He's running. He's preparing.